Hello, and welcome to For the Love of People podcast. My name is Shania Khan. I'm a marketing expert, business coach, brand strategist, and founder of For the Love of People Group Content Marketing Agency. I love helping people nail down their brand message via great content that people will absolutely love. If you're looking to grow your business and yourself professionally, personally, this podcast is definitely for you. My goal is to take you and your brand to the next level by inspiring you with stories from other brand founders like myself. I provide you with specific tips and tricks to take your marketing and self-development game to the next level. We're about to have so much fun together. Thank you again for joining me, and let's dive right in. Welcome to another season of For the Love of People. We have started recording again. We're going to have some video. Hopefully it's not like this blurry. And then we'll splice it up and give you guys little bits and pieces as we record. So I have my first guest of the season, Johnny. Hello.
Hola. What's up?
Thank you for joining me. I want you to start by introducing yourself and kind of telling your story to everybody. What you do, where you came from, where you live, and then we'll go from there because I have some questions for you.
I'm Johnny Nguyen, owner of Lucy's Vietnamese Kitchen in three different locations, Bushwick, Williamsburg, and Bed-Stuy in Brooklyn. I was born and raised in Bushwick. I currently live in Williamsburg. 32 years old. I'm 100% Vietnamese. What else?
So I guess my first question would be, tell me about your childhood, how you, like, where you grew up, what were you doing? Did you go to college? How did you start your restaurant? And then I'm going to get into the real topic of this podcast, which is communication. Tell me about that.
I grew up in Bushwick and I went to all local schools, public schools. I didn't graduate high school. Actually, I left high school towards my fifth year in. Started my business and started working in restaurant businesses and just started learning the craft. And from there, I was able to just take what I know, save some money up, and open my first restaurant when I was 24.
Why do you think that you couldn't get through high school? Because I have a theory about schools in general, but why do you think you couldn't get through high school?
Well, the way I looked at, well, number one, I grew up in a really bad neighborhood growing up, and I was the only Asian person in school. So basically, I had to choose from being like, you know, getting bullied or doing the bullying. So it was like, you know, schools reminds me of church, if that makes sense. It's like, you know, they have different cliques, different forms of different, you know, crowds. Like in church, you have like a chorus group. You have the old people on one side, you have the rich on another side. It's just very diverse when we're all supposed to be there for one reason, to learn. Schools are very difficult because you're dealing with different teachers, you're dealing with different personalities. Kids, you know, kids in high school are just the kids. You know, a lot of bullying happens, a lot of like, you know, popularity, it's just nonsense. More or less that. I think school is made and built for a reason. School is made for you to be a worker. They don't really teach you about entrepreneurship. They don't really teach you about saving money, open a bank account, credit, to build credit, buy a house. They don't teach you any of these things or open a business. They only teach you in high school, ABC 1, 2, 3. And they force you to believe that working, like to do your best, 100%. You always got to be the best, the highest GPA levels or whatever. But they don't teach you anything else about life. So when you get into the real world and you go to college, so you start learning stuff, but you got to get through high school first. But yeah, school wasn't for me. I was just not good at school. I didn't care. I wanted to make money. So I got a job.
I completely agree with you. I think schools are, they're not designed to create entrepreneurs, and they kind of stifle your creativity. It took me so many years to get through college because I was constantly bored. I got really good grades. I graduated from college eventually, but it's a very boring, it's like memorizing and spitting stuff out instead of actually learning. I think this whole school system, educational system in this country is completely, it's designed to develop workers. Yeah, people that work, and there's nothing wrong with that. We need that. And if that's what you want to do in life, that's totally okay. But I think a lot of creatives and entrepreneurs really have a hard time getting through school.
I think also, like, working a 9-to-5 is not a bad thing. You know what I mean? Like, stability is awesome. Like, don't get me wrong. But, like, if you want stability, then, you know, you're going to live a normal, which is fine. You know, that's great. Work a 9-to-5. Don't worry about your job and go home. But being an entrepreneur means your job is 24/7. Your mind is always, there's nights that I can't even sleep because I'm thinking about what to do next.
Yeah.
Kind of like high anxiety chaos, but like controlled chaos. You know, like you don't, entrepreneur is like a gamble. You don't know what you're getting yourself into. And once you get into it, you're like, oh shit, this is fucking crazy.
You know? It's, and you know what? There is no stability though. Let's talk about stability, because even when you have jobs in corporate America, like I did for over 20 years, there's no stability. They'll let go of you in a second and you'll be at your job that you worked for 10 years. So this podcast is about encouraging people to kind of live their dreams and go after what they want. And people will tell me all the time, well, I could never do what you did because I quit my job and I was like, I'm going to start my own company. And they were like, I could never do that because I like stability and I need to pay my bills. But those same people will then get laid off after they work somewhere for 10 years. So where is their stability?
So it's no guaranteed. So like, it's so funny because I know a lot of people, like older, like adults that, you know, have real jobs that they after working 20 years for a company, get laid off. And I'm like, you spent 20 years of your life working for someone else to be like, hey, you're fired. we're dying every day, period. We're bound to die as, you know, that's how the way life works. You can die tomorrow. But I'd rather die and know that I tried doing things my way and like I work for myself. I'd rather put 130,000% in myself than put 130,000 for another person's company, knowing that I have no control, no nothing. Like that's just part of life. Even as entrepreneurs, we all have bosses at the end of the day. I still have a boss, the government. You know what I mean? The government, you know, the state, any given time they could be like, hey, Johnny, COVID's here, shut down your restaurant. What I'm gonna do? Say no? I gotta shut down. So either way, you're always gonna have a boss. I realized that at a very young age, no matter if you own the stuff and you do what you do, there's always someone bossing you around. You pay taxes.
No, I agree with you. And I think, I think people don't understand when you're making, like, let's say I was making $55 million for one of my territories. I could have made myself $55 million working that hard as I did. And I think people don't believe in themselves enough to know they can do it. And that's why I wanted to have you on the show, because when I met you in New York through a mutual friend, shout out to Judith. I love you. When I met you through her and you were telling me your story, it's like completely mind blowing, because a lot of people think that people start businesses or they do stuff because they have help, right? They have like family, their daddy gives them money, and then they're like, they're going to be successful because they come from this and that. And telling stories like yours is important because you did it by yourself. Of course, there's always people along the way that help you. You have to have a good team around you. But I want you to talk more about, how did you go from not graduating high school to opening your first restaurant? Where are the steps here?
The steps? There was no steps. Well, in my mind, I knew that I had to work for somebody to learn. And, you know, like, honestly, it wasn't my goal to open a restaurant. It just happened. It's like, you know, when you're poor, when you're poor and you have your back pushed against the wall, you usually find ways to hustle. Like, I don't think, you know, people ask me, like, what are you really good at? What's your skill? I'm like, honestly, I think I'm good at hustling. Like, hustling, like, meaning like whatever it took. Like, if I had to work 3-4 jobs, I would work 3-4 jobs. I remember when I was 18 years old, I had 4 jobs. I was working at Uncharted, the restaurant. I was doing club promoting. I was selling drugs on the side. I ran an underground poker spot. You know what I mean? Like, I was selling sneakers, phones, whatever. I wanted my ones to be my fives and my fives to be my tens and my tens to be my 20s and my 50s to be my 100. I wanted to double my money up every day. I was like, you know, if I make $150 working at a restaurant today, all day for 14 hours, how can I make that $150 to $300? How can I make $300 to $600? I kept trying to flip my money and make more and more and more, because I knew that you need money to survive. People just like, at this age, in my time, I tell people all the time, you can buy time. And people are like, what do you mean, Johnny? You can't buy time. Yeah, you can buy time. Because if you have enough money, you make time for what you want to do. Your friends, your family, your travels, your experiences, the food you eat, the car you drive, the house you want to have. If you have money, you can buy time. Instead of, you know, like, instead of people work so hard for money and realize they just, the time is going away. Now you're 40, you're 50, you're 60. You've worked your whole life to become a millionaire or to pay off your house. But if you worked hard right now and pushed for yourself, there's so many ways to make money. It's just crazy to me. You could sell a bottle of water in the summer in a cooler and make more than someone working a day job. If you sold a buy a case of water for like what? They cost you 10 cents per bottle and you sell it for $1 or $2 in the street and you sold 200 bottles of water, you mean that's $400. And you made more in cash. You made more money than the person who worked a 9-to-5. And it's tax-free. There's so many ways to make money, just people choose not to do it. It's like, you can do anything. You can sell socks if you wanted to. I don't know. I feel like there's always a way to make money and I feel like people just don't think about it or they're just too lazy. I think being an entrepreneur means like you got to keep working. You got to keep hustling. You got to keep pushing. There is no time. Yo, every day is Monday to me. Every day is Monday to me. There is no Friday. There's no Saturday. If I'm partying, people who party on Saturday, I party the same way on Monday. People who work on Monday, I work as hard as them on Saturday because Monday is Monday. Every day is Monday. And once you have that concept in your mind, you're able to like control what you do for a living, for what you do.
Yeah. No, I agree with you. I also liked your point. I mean, people are sitting there and I talk to people all the time and they're like, oh, after I retire and then I'm like 55, 60 and I've saved all my money, then I'm going to do this. Right. I think my mom was telling me a story of this woman that finally retired from working after like, I don't even know, 25 years. And she bought a ranch and she wanted all her grandkids there and stuff. And she passed away like a year later. This woman worked for 25 years for somebody else to build a ranch, to have her grandkids and died a year later. And it's not funny, but I laugh at inappropriate moments all the time. It's not funny, but it just goes to show you that what are you waiting for? And why are you not living your life right now? And I think when people see, when I met you, you're always going out, you're always doing something, you're always very active. I'm the same way. And I think people are like, well, when do you have time to work? But work is, it's all day. It's every day. It's every minute. There's no moment when I'm not working, I think. Do you want to elaborate on that? I mean, do you see people working and they're like, well, after 20 years, I'm going to do this.
You know, what's so funny. People think that when we go out, especially with me, when people look at my lifestyle, it's not for everyone. Number one, when I go out, people think I'm out partying or drinking or, you know, having fun. I'm actually working. I'm actually networking. I'm actually learning other people, watching people, understanding what they do for a living. People say, oh, I would joke all the time, but I was like, oh, I don't have a college tuition, right? I didn't pay for college, basically. I mean, like I didn't go to school, but I'm paying for life lessons. Every mistake I made in business or what I did in my life, I paid for it. And I paid a lot. It's like as much as paying as for college. But I did it on my terms, my time. You know, there's times when I lose 50K on a project or something and I fucked up. Or 200K on a restaurant that concept didn't work out. But then I learned from that and I made it better. That I feel like if you don't try, you already failed. You already failed. There's no point. But not everyone has what entrepreneurs are. And that's the reason that's why you have the boss and you have a dishwasher. It's a job for everybody. But it doesn't mean a dishwasher can't teach you something new.
Yeah, and it doesn't mean it's bad or it's good. I mean, some people like what they do and they do it with pride. And as long as you have passion and pride for what you do, it doesn't matter what you do because we need all levels of people to be working. And I think the problem comes in when that dishwasher or whoever is not happy, but they don't want to take the leap. And I think fear, it cripples people. To this point, in every aspect of your life, personally, professionally, fear, it cripples people because you don't want to get hurt and you don't want to fail. I want to talk about networking and communication, right? You were telling me you're out all the time, you're meeting people. I do the same thing, right? And people are like, you're always out, what's wrong with you? You're always like hanging out somewhere and meeting people. But that's how I get my business. I get clients, I meet people, I throw myself out there and I put myself in places that I wouldn't normally go to, or I'll, you know, I'm always on the phone or I'm always trying to connect with new people. Tell me about networking and why it's important to grow your business. And did networking help you start your first business?
I think what helped me start my first business is honestly, finding there's always room for like a something to grow. Like there was no like, I don't know what the word is, but there was no Vietnamese food in a neighborhood. And I was like, yo, if I was the first one to open a Vietnamese spot, I would kill it because I'm the only one, you know? I truly believe when you're the first one to do anything that's never been done before, you're able to like win. Like, for example, I looked at a lot of companies. They're like McDonald's, Chipotle, all these fast food companies. I'm like, yo, what are they doing that they're always surviving? And they don't do anything, recession, whatever. They're always surviving. And it's because it's all about numbers. It's about food costs. It's about labor. Like, business honestly isn't about your product. It's not about, a product could be good, it could be decent, but if you have good numbers and you know how to run a business, you'll succeed with numbers. Because then you can see when you need to cut on some stuff, or you need to add some stuff, or like find a cheaper way to do things, or a more efficient way to do things. And I guess I just like, my whole concept of why I did what I was doing is because I needed to. I had no choice. Either I was going to find another job, work for someone else hard, or start my own business. I even told myself at 24 that if I started Lucy's and I failed, that I have the rest of my life to make it better.
Yeah. I'm 24. I mean, let's talk about Lucy's though, because you're saying like it's not about the product. I disagree with you. I think that your product is it's the most delicious pho I've ever eaten, honestly, in my life. And we want to bring it to Houston because it's so good. So let's not discount the product, because the product is there. People are not going to come back if you serve terrible food, and your food is not terrible. So to clarify that, in case anyone's like, what does Lucy's have? It's absolutely delicious. And I want you to talk about what you told me and when I was in New York, why the pho is good, what you do to it. I mean, you're putting brisket in it. You're being innovative. So you're actually creating a need for something that people didn't even know they wanted, right?
Yes.
Tell me about how your product, your menu is developed.
That's freaking crazy. So basically, I was doing like Smorg and Brooklyn Flea, which is like basically a bunch of vendors selling food. And it all started when Dennis Snow gave me a booth to do food in the summertime. And the concept was summer rolls. So we was rolling fresh summer rolls on the spot. So like it was like summer rolls. It was very, very smart what I did, because I know that people, when people see you doing something, like making something, they're always intrigued and see how like, oh, how do you do this? And it could be the simplest thing, but if you're doing it in front of them, they'll want it because they see it's fresh. So during the summertime, I was like rolling summer rolls from like all day. I'm talking about like Judith actually worked for me at the booth. And it's funny. She actually ran some of my stalls for me, because we had like four different stalls like everywhere in New York City on the weekends. But I learned that simple is always the best. Simple. Like, you know, have a small menu. And I wanted a small menu and I wanted no waste. Because I realized working in a restaurant business is always waste. You know, like people, I think it's like people always throwing away food at the end of the day. Like, you know, either like it's bad fish, bad chicken, bad beef, you know, because you can't sell everything every day and no one's going to eat it every day. So you have to find a product that can last and stay fresh. And, you know, like everything, I have four items on my menu. I have a sandwich, banh mi, a pho, which is a soup, vermicelli bowl, bloom, and then I have some rolls. That's all I have. That, and then it goes three different ways, three different proteins. I have like vegan chicken, lemongrass chicken, and smoked brisket. And everything that we use in our sandwich, we use in our vermicelli bowl. And it just all goes together. So there's zero waste. I don't throw anything out. So that helps you with food costs and, you know, small menus. And it helps you also to make food faster. It helps you better for like workers to work because there's less stress. I actually looked at everything. I looked at like how can I make my workers' life easier? Who can work there? They're not hiring a real chef. I don't need a real chef. I need to pay someone like $30 an hour or whatever to just, you know, make a sandwich, you know, with labor costs being so high in New York City.
Yeah, but you perfected. You were telling me there's something that was really innovative about putting brisket that you actually slow cooked in pho, which people have never, I think we haven't really seen that. And then number two, your broth is actually vegan and it takes on flavor of whatever you put in it. So why, what was that about? Because I find it very interesting that you thought that way instead of just making like a traditional pho, you wanted to kind of mix some cultures together.
So basically, I needed to make a broth. That's the what happened was I needed to make a broth fast, real fast, like super fast to provide for like the masses. And also it was, I needed to not like using a traditional broth with bone broth, you need bones, you need meat, you need 10 hours, 12 hours, you need time. I knew that I didn't have space and time. So like our first Lucy's was 350 square feet. Think about 350 square feet. It's the size of a living room, you know? It's very, and I was able to easily clear 1.5 at the end of the year because all we needed was just, you know, our broth, which was vegan, which took an hour to make. And I thought about it. I was like, if I made a vegan broth, right? Every broth starts with vegetables to begin with. That's number one. Number two, vegan is a huge, you know, portion of like the people who eat, they only eat healthier. So then, and it's like, you don't have the complication of making three different broths, like chicken broth, brisket broth, beef broth, and then a veggie broth. Now you're stuck with three different broths, you know, which is a lot of space required, a lot of work, a lot of effort. So I was like, you know what, let me make a really good vegan broth. And then when you add the brisket, the smoked brisket with the fat and all that, you know, it instantly tastes like beef broth, instantly. And then, you know, same thing with the chicken. It tastes like chicken or the vegan chicken. It just goes so well, so easily. And, I don't know. I just felt like you needed to stick to what you know, you know?
Yeah, I like that. Stick to what you know. Because I think people do come up with concepts and ideas, which you're always telling me about, right? You have 4,000 ideas a day, which I do too. And I think most people that are entrepreneurs and creatives, I get called crazy all the time. I'm sure that's the word people call you, crazy, wild.
I'm insane. I'm out of control insane. I'm chaos. Yeah,
and they say that to me constantly, like, you're crazy, you're wild. But I think people like that are constantly coming up with ideas. The problem is that a lot of these people don't have execution. They do not execute, right? So everybody has million-dollar ideas every single day. They'll tell you about them, then they won't do anything. So where does it go from idea to execution, or how does it? If someone's listening and they're like, I have so many ideas, but I don't have money and I don't have this and I don't know about this, what advice would you give these people, the listeners?
Wow. You know, so crazy. I didn't start with a lot of money with Lucy's. I did. It's just like, you know, there's so many grants in your own city that will give you money, like as small business loans. If you build your credit, have good credit. Credit helps you go a long way. That's the first step, build your credit, you know, like take time building credit, look up grants. Oh, yo, we pay taxes to these companies, these grants, to fund like small businesses. And as a minority, or if you are a minority, you should take that, the money that's free money, and then use that to make a business. And even if you fail, it's okay. If you're not failing, you're not learning. You got to fail. You have to. I'm not saying, but if you fail and you do the same thing over again, it's okay. You could keep trying till you figure it out. Yeah. I always had this one saying, I could fail a million times, but and that's okay. As long as I get it right the next time. That's all right. There's nothing wrong with failing. I think people are scared to fall. They're scared.
Yeah, they're scared. I mean, people are scared. I've met so many people that they're scared in their personal life constantly. They're always like terrified to speak to someone or like say something or whatever. And then there's people scared professionally to do the same thing. And I think that you have to be a little bit of crazy and wild to not give a crap what happens no matter what you do. It's just like, go for it. jump off the cliff, and either you're going to sink or you're going to swim, right? And most people will swim because it's a natural instinct to survive. And I think a lot of people are like, well, no, I'm just going to stand here. I'm going to watch everyone else do it because it's way safer. So I think getting out of that safe zone is so important. I think people just don't know how to get out of the safe zone. But to your point, it comes from networking and meeting other people that and getting outside of your circle. I think people hang out with the same people consistently. And if they're not, you're not hanging out with people that are lifting you up and supporting you and going, okay, your idea is nuts, but okay, let's think about it. Let's try it. Then I think you're never going to grow. So let's talk about your circle.
You need to, I honestly, the older I got and the more successful I became, I had less of a circle. I've completely lost friends left and right. I've lost relations left and right. You know, like, because people didn't understand what I was going through. People think, you know, people mistaking my confidence as arrogance. That's number one. They don't understand that you have to, like, be confident and understand you're going to make it. You got to be like, I'm the man. I'm the best. I'm the best woman. No one could be better than me. If you already think that you're already not better than someone or you can't do it, you already failed. You really got to push yourself to be like, yo, I'm the best pool player. Like, if you're going to play pool, be like, I'm the best. You know? If you're going to play basketball, like, I'm the
best. Johnny, I think my brother's the best. I don't know. I'm just kidding.
But you get what I'm saying? In general, you have to, like, really look at yourself and in the mirror and tell you you're the best and you can do this. And the amount of like, maturity and, like, mental, like, build you're going to build on yourself, that's your confidence is going to raise to the level. I'm not saying be cocky. That's two different things. Be confident. And people are going to see you as, like, being arrogant, but they don't understand that in your mind, you have to think you're the fucking best. There's just no doubt about it. Because if you start thinking you're not the best, you're going to just fail. I wake up every day like, yo, I'm the fucking best. I brush my teeth, I'm the fucking best. You know, like, I make sure I'm the... And you got discipline. I think people don't say, like, you could have all the right attributes. I mean, you could be smart. You could be handsome. You could be, you know, a hard worker. You have all the good things about yourself. But if you don't have discipline, you failed. You need to have discipline. You need to have to be able to do the same thing over every day. You need to wake up, do this, and get it done. You know, like, you think we go to the gym for fun? We go to the gym because it's discipline.
I mean, I 100% agree with you. I go to the gym, obviously, to have a banging body. But number two, I go to the gym because it does discipline me. It makes me mentally prepared for the day. And if you don't feel good and look good, then you're not going to be able to function properly. Like, having crap diets and not working out and not having discipline, waking up and doing something consistently is very important. So I do want to talk about discipline more. What else do you think besides going to the gym and working out, which people don't understand? When you go to the gym, you don't have to be there for 2 hours like I am. Like, you don't have to be mentally in the gym. But, I mean, what else is there besides the gym, which you can literally just go even walk for 30 minutes and succeed at something? What else is there that's discipline?
I think the first step to people don't understand, it's like, set a goal. Set a goal in your life. And that's the first step of having, like, discipline. Well, not discipline, but setting a goal is, like, the first step. And then once you set that goal, you should be working towards that goal. Like, the first thing I do when I wake up is take my vitamins, drink my water, you know, have my coffee, take my, you know, my protein shake, my pre-workout, go to the gym. And then I go to the gym after I'm done with the gym. I do the same thing every day. My lifestyle is the same every day. Nothing really changes in my life. And, I like my life. I like doing what I want, which helps you become more disciplined, because now you're looking at yourself like, this is what I want to do. You already have that mindset. And then once you have that, you could discipline yourself to doing more things. Like, I think success is very, very, very complicated. I think people who are successful, like, they do something, they succeed. But once you succeed, now it just keeps rolling because you've made it. You've reached the goal. Like, oh yeah, I did it. You know, now what's next? And then all of a sudden you succeed in that. And it just keeps rolling and rolling and rolling. But you have to be, you need to have so much confidence in yourself. I think confidence, discipline, patience, you know. And you know what's so crazy? I think patience is a good part of it, but I'm very impatient. If I want to do something, I'm fucking doing it. And then I just go and do it. I don't wait for it. If I want something, I get it. I feel like people have this thing of like, oh yeah, you got to be patient sometimes. You got to wait. What are you waiting for?
Fear, but that's fear-based, right? Because most people that don't have confidence have a fear of rejection.
Mm-hmm.
So when, and this goes to everything in life, like if we're talking about personally, when people are playing games with each other, like dating wise and all that, it's like, oh, well, I'm afraid if this person's going to reject me, who cares? Like the confidence has to be there. When you're walking into a room, into a meeting, you don't walk in there. We're like, well, they're probably just going to say no. So then don't go and don't do anything and just sit in your house. And I think it does have a lot to do with confidence, because if you're not your biggest fan, which I am every single day, I think I'm the fucking best. If you're not your biggest fan, why would anyone else in the room be your biggest fan?
But you're also your biggest hater.
100%.
You know what I'm saying? You have to think about this. Like, you're the biggest fan knowing that you're going to be the best, but you're the biggest hater because you look at yourself and like, oh, what I did wrong? Am I doing the right thing? You got to check yourself sometimes. There's some people like, yo, it's so funny because someone was like, oh, yo, can you just act like a man? Right? And then my response is like, show me a man in this room. I'll act like one. What is a man? What is a woman? Does a man provide? Does a man make money? Does a man like do good? What? There's no definition of a man or a woman. It's whatever you want to be. Whatever you think you should be is the definition. I think people have this thing where they idolize, or like they have this some form of like, I don't know how to explain it, but like, you know, like idea of like, this is, you should be this way. No, like you should be.
Have to be by the book. Like there's no freaking book. There's no.
You should be. I told people. You should be an absolute fucking monster. And then figure out how to control it. You should be absolutely chaos and figure out how you can control chaos. You know, be an absolute mess and figure out how not to be messy.
Yeah, I mean, sometimes we all get messy, and that's okay too. I think, but those are learning lessons, and it's doing. Honestly, it's doing whatever you want and then figuring out along the way it's not right. And the people that stick with you along the way are the ones that, you know, you should kind of and keep around your circle. And going back to circle, surrounding yourself with people that will tell you when you are fucking up, or tell you when you are out of line, or tell you when you are not going down the right path. I mean, surrounding yourself with yes people. And I was talking to someone in LA about this, that these people, they, as they get more and more successful, number one, they get comfortable, which comfort equals no growth, right? The minute you get comfortable, you're not growing anymore. You should always be really uncomfortable, right? Every day. But after you get comfortable, you get really successful, you hang out with people that will tell you yes and tell you you're amazing and tell you what you're doing is right all the time. So I want you to talk more about that. And do you have people in your life around you that are like, nope, this is not right?
I do, but it's very hard for me to take like advice from people who never done it. I'm one of those people. Like, if you've never done something, don't tell me what I could do, what I should do. But I'll take your advice. I hear you out. But like, if you've never done it, how are you going to tell me to do something? Or what's right, what's wrong?
I mean, you know? it's also, but like being a basic human, right? Just being a human, just... I have friends around me that I'll be completely out of line and completely rude to someone and say something really off. And my friends will check me and be like, what you said was really hurtful, really disrespectful. Please stop acting like that. And I need people like that around me, because the ego and the monster and the confidence does turn into sometimes being
out of line. And it's a self-awareness that you need to work on. You don't need to see if you're disrespecting people or being out of line, that's a you thing. That's something that you need to fix. And no one can tell you what to do. They could give you advice, but you're going to do it again.
Oh, no. I, that's what I'm saying, though. It's okay to have people around you that will give you that advice and that will tell you that you are a little out of line, so that you can have some introspection and think about it later. But if you don't have anyone that makes you aware of that, then how are you going to grow? Because I think humans should help other humans out and say what you did was right or wrong. It, of course, you're not going to change right away, but maybe it does give you a little bit of thought to grow a little bit more. Or do you completely disagree with this?
Well, I think I agree with it, but honestly, like I have this like, this is so crazy. But I remember this one time I was at a bar, some like random guy is like talking to me, right? And he's all drunk and stuff. He's probably not drunk. He's drunk. He's drunk. He's drunk. He's talking to me, you know, he's like disrespecting me. And then he's just like, now he's being a little touchy, you know, he's pushing on me. And I'm like to myself, like my mind, like I'm just going to punch this guy right in his fucking face. You know, like just like I'm just going to do it. But then I realized something about people. Like I get drunk. No, I drink. I go out. You know, I have fun. But I have this thing that I say that do whatever you do, but don't hurt anyone. And don't say nothing wrong to them. You know what I'm saying? You could drink all day long. Hang out, you know, party really hard. But once you're affecting someone else that you don't know or you do know, you're fucking up. You know what I mean? Like, we live in a world that we have to be around people, okay? But if you don't know how to be around people and you haven't learned to not disrespect people or be harmful, stay your ass home. Stay home.
Stay home. Ask up, people. No. Okay, I'm gonna shift you back to your business. Tell me about Lucy's. You just opened your third location. What after the first location made you open the second one, and how did you get to the third one?
Well, first of all, I had a good product, and then I was able to find investors to invest in me, and to invest in my brand and idea. Honestly, like you know, I was like a you know I was a neighborhood kid that you know I was like a, you could say I'm like the neighborhood Robin Hood in a sense that you know I'm the kid that never had money that was poor, you know, never had any parents. You know, grew up in the street, grew up in the hood, you know, grew up in Bushwick, well, before it was gentrified now. And I was like, you know, everyone likes the underdog. It's just what it is. You know, underdog that became successful. And then people who hear your story, which is a true story, they're like, wow, he can even do it. And all I wanted to do, honestly, when I opened the store is to show people you can do it. That's the whole reason I'm successful, I want to be successful, is I want to show people you can do it if you put your heart and soul into it. You know, like, I'm not better than anyone. I just know for a fact I could work harder than anybody. I know for a fact I can, because I have no time in my mind. There's no such thing as night and day to me, or day and night. There's no such thing as days to me. Time is irrelevant to me. Like, I literally think every day is the same. I literally think night and day is the same. I could be working 24 hours, 48 hours in a row and succeed because I know I can outwork you.
Yeah. That's the thing. I love that. And I've heard you say that before. You can outwork most people. And I think that when people do get into like starting a business, they think you're somehow going to work less. And that is not true because you work day and night and there's no Saturday, Sunday. There's no days off. But I like what you said about people started investing in you. And that comes, I think, back from what you said before, is self-confidence. You believed in yourself so much that you had others believing in you too. And I think thoughts become words, become actions, right? And the minute you start thinking that you can do something and then you start believing it, others around you will believe that as well. So I think that's very like, I mean, you're amazing to be around. You're charismatic. You're very caring. You're very passionate about what you do. Tell me about like some of the charity stuff you've done. Cause I was stalking your Instagram and tell me about why you feel it's necessary to give back as well. And why you think that's an important part of being an entrepreneur.
I think that started, giving back was something I always wanted to do because people in my life dozens of people in my life has always had my back when I was like down in the gutter, like lost. From like relationships to girlfriends, from friends, I've always had like really a handful of good people who just like, got you, Johnny, you know? And I love giving back because it shows that, you know, like it's not all about money. I think people understand it's not about money. Money is irrelevant. It's about doing the right thing sometimes, you know, and the money will come. Like I remember when I was a kid, I was like real broke. And then like one of my friends, good friends, Asher, he was hungry. I had $5 left in my pocket, like $5 in my pocket, literally $5 to like, well, maybe the whole week. I was a kid. And I was like, yo, here's $5. Go get some eat. That's like something like you have to understand to give. And like, not, I give and expect nothing in return. I expect nothing in return except people just saying thank you and let's move forward.
Yeah. And I mean, giving and receiving is important too, right? So I think a lot of us are, we become givers and we don't know how to receive. And I think we talked about this
when I went here. Gifts.
You don't know how to like then take it, which that's not good either.
Look, I like, let's talk about, when I go on dates, I don't let girls pay for anything. I have this weird thing. God,
you're one of the like one in a million men, because there's a lot of men that will let women pay for themselves. But
and I'll split. I don't, when I go and have dinners with my friends, like friends and family or like people I know, I don't split the bill. Either I'm paying for it or you're paying, someone's gonna take the bill. Whoever puts the money out first pays for it, you know? And then because we have this relation that the next time we go out, I got you. You know, like it's a very give and take. But that's also surrounding yourself with people who understand that. I have this zero tolerance with people right now in my life. Like if you're rubbing me the wrong way or I see that you're doing wrong things I don't like, I'm walking across the street. It's a two-way street. Walk the other way.
Yeah.
Cut them off.
100%. It's like, if you're wasting my time, it takes me about like two interactions with you to be like, we're not wasting my time anymore. Because as you get older, time wasting is not, I mean, you have to book it. I charge per hour for my time. You're not going to waste my time. So I agree with you. I think as you grow and you have a business, even if you work in corporate America, stop letting people waste your time. Stop.
And don't do things that you're not supposed to be doing. I feel like people get to jobs and they start doing too much, the things that not that I get paid to do. Your time is money. So you should get paid to do, you know, the extra work. I feel like, you know, I don't know. I always treated my workers really well. Like if it was they spending an extra hour, I would just give them more money. You know what I mean? I like, instead of being like, oh yeah, I'll pay you $15 an hour. Yo, here's 20 bucks cash. Thank you for staying for the extra hour. Because it's the thought process that they're willing to work the extra hour because you asked them to.
Yeah. And for legal reasons, it's not cash. It's just added to their payroll. But I mean, I agree with you. I think that being a good leader is important too. And I think you do have leadership qualities in you. You push everyone around you to be better. And I think that's a huge part of being successful, is that how do you create expansion in others around you? How do you motivate other people?
This is like something I told everybody. I don't need more followers in my life. I don't need you following me. Either you're beside me, we're doing it together, or you're in front of me and you're teaching me so I can learn more. That's all I need in my life. I don't need more followers. Followers, that's not what you need in life. People always worry about, oh, I need a following, I need followers. No, you don't. You need people beside you doing it with you so you could grow, or someone in front of you that you're learning so you could grow even more. I like people being ahead of me. I like it. It gives me it gives me more motivation to be like, oh damn, you really thought out the box. You're teaching me something. I like more successful people. I want people to be successful. But not everyone has it. Yo, I hire 50 people. Maybe two out of that 50 people are the doers, the ones that are going to be something. That's just a fact. Not everybody can be a leader. If we were all leaders, there'd be no workers.
Right. No, I agree with you. And I do think it is about, that circles back to not surrounding yourself with yes people, because those are the people that are followers that are around you just to kind of leech off of you and not learn anything and then just kind of get messy. I think, but a lot of people are afraid to be around people that are more successful than them because they feel like they have nothing to offer. So what is a tip to, where do you go to meet more successful people, and what's a tip to be around them that you don't feel like, someone can always contribute something. So what is a tip to find people that are more successful, and then what do you bring to that table?
You bring your time. Bring your time. Bring your time in your ears. You know, like listening is a very good part of it, but watching also too is a very good part of it. You don't need to be around successful people, honestly, to be successful. You just gotta watch. Like this, we have the internet. The internet is the biggest thing to ever use. You can watch YouTube videos about discipline. You can watch YouTube videos how to do things. Like, yo, I made live edge wood tables from scratch.
with no carpeting skill, no nothing.
Those are in your restaurant, right? Those are so pretty, by the way. I was going to ask you where you got them from, and then I think I was like stalking your Instagram, and I saw that you were actually made the tables, which is so nuts to me because you could sell those tables. By the way, like I kind of want one.
I went to New Jersey. My investor was like, "You're crazy." I went to New Jersey, got real raw wood, brought it to my restaurant. And I just, it was nuts. I'm talking about there was dust. It was chaotic. But I was like, and it was like, how long we were supposed to open like the next week? It was like, how long is it going to take you to make this? I was like, give me 3 fucking days. In 3 fucking days, I made 3 tables, sanded, coated, epoxied everything. I did everything myself. And I was like, the reward, it's like I told you about success. Once you do something once, like, damn, yo, I just made tables. What can I make next? Like, what's the next step in my life that I can accomplish? You know, and it's all about just wanting to do it. I literally did it in 3 days. I didn't even sleep. I was obsessed. To be successful, you have to be obsessed.
Yeah, and you have to be a finisher. You got to finish. People don't finish. You got to finish it. And there's times when I think my own family, I've done stuff and they're like, what are you doing? I was like, I don't care if I have to stay awake for 4 days. I'm going to finish this. And so it becomes an obsession, but... When do you know how to give? When do you know when to give in, though?
When you realize you can't do it, and it's hard because people like us or people who are entrepreneurs, we believe we could do anything. Like the world's ours to take. But at the same time, you have to know, like, holy shit, this project's a little too big for me. I'm very good at also finding people to do things that I'm not good at. You gotta hire people. Like for example, you're not gonna edit this because that's not what you do. You're going to find someone and you'll pay someone to do the job for you because you're not good at it. So why? You can be. You can sit here and learn how to edit. But in your heart and your mind, you know you're not good at it. You're just not.
I'm going to make more money not doing that than doing that. So opportunity cost wise, why would I spend time editing this podcast when I could pay someone less than I make it an hour to do it for me? So
yes,
opportunity cost wise, that's thinking obviously like with money and creativity. Creatively.
It's a job for everybody. It's a job for everybody. And honestly, I'm not good at the job. So let someone else that's professional and someone could do it better than you, do it.
Yeah.
You gotta know, like I told my investors, I'm not going to be the guy working 14, 15 hours anymore. I'm not that guy. I'm not going to be in a restaurant, holding down the restaurant, working because my time and effort could be making us more money and doing other things, other ideas than sitting in a restaurant. If you have to be somewhere for 14, 12 to 14 hours a day, you're that time, you better make sure you fucking make it bank. Because that time could be used to do a lot of other things in life. You know, like I said, we're coming back to, you can buy time. If you have money, you can buy time, which is buying your freedom. Which, is limited to what to each say. But if I have lots of money, I could be anywhere in the world. I could do whatever I want.
Yeah. No, I agree with you. Okay, so what's next for you in your life? What are future plans? What's happening next?
The end of the year, December actually, I wanted to come to the new year with a list of things I wanted to do. And I made a list, took a picture of it, and I'm like slowly doing it. Like I wanted to, there's so many ways to make money and it's so many ways. And I wanted to open more Lucy's, of course. I think by end of this year, I should have maybe 2 more Lucy's. So then I have 5 Lucy's in total. I want to open in different cities. That's number one, because I feel like the more you expand, the more it's your name just builds up. You know, I want one in every major city. I want to be the next Vietnamese Chipotle, Vietnamese Subways, Vietnamese McDonald's. I want to be the next. And I truly believe I can happen now. I truly believe. At first, it was just a dream, just like a little dream. But I really believe now I can make this bigger than it will ever be. But it wasn't just me doing it. I had a lot of, I realized I'm not good at business. I am not good at business. But I have people who are good at business. And they handle the business part. I handle, setting it up. New ideas, and that's me. I'm that guy, and I'm good at being that guy. I'm fine with that. You have to be fine on what you're good at. Sometimes you push yourself to be good at something that you're not really good at. sometimes you may be good at it, but most of the times you're half-assing it. You know, like I've got to give 100%.
One of my friends said, always stay in your genius zone and work in your genius zone. And a lot of founders are, I feel like I'm the same way. A lot of founders are more about the big ideas and the creativity and the efficiency and all that, instead of being in the nitty gritty and doing it. And I think when you hire a team, they don't understand what like I do all day. Cause I have clients that are like, what do you do all day? Cause it looks like you go to the gym and then you party at night. And what else do you do? But I do a lot. I'm the big ideas person. I hire people to do stuff for me because I don't want to spend my time doing it. And I think a lot of people that start businesses, they stay in the minutia of it and they stay in all the small details and they're never going to grow because they don't spend time thinking.
Yeah. Don't spend too much time thinking sometimes. Sometimes you're just going to do it. Like, just get it done. Like,
well, you know what I'm saying? Like thinking instead of, sometimes you need to think about how are you going to expand and get bigger instead of like doing little things, like exactly like making the pho. And I do believe you are going to be the next Chipotle or McDonald's because that pho is freaking banging. So we're going to go to Houston so that I can eat it every single day. And it's absolutely delicious. Okay. So I love the future plans. And now I need one word of advice, one piece of advice for people, for the listeners that want to start a business and execute on their dreams.
The only negative thing about life is not being positive.
I love that. Okay. Number two, if you had a book written about you, what would the title be?
Wow. War.
War?
Okay. War. Okay. Or chaos.
You have to pick one. Yeah. It would be war and chaos.
Yeah, war and chaos.
Okay, and then where can people follow you or your restaurant and learn more about basically you and your life?
Well, you guys could. I have a autobiography doc on Vice. So it's like Johnny Wynn, look up Vice. You could go on our Instagram.
I'll link the documentary on the show notes.
I Love Lucy, you know, BK. And then we have like Lucy's Vietnamese you can follow. You know, these are things like, you know, it's not hard. You can just look it up. Just Google.
Or I can put it in the show notes and they can go and find it. And then maybe, you know, they can come eat your pho, or if they want to expand, they can come contact you, which is good, right? Yeah. Okay. Any last words? Any last thoughts? Anything else you want to say?
But the only constant thing about life is change.
Yep.
The only thing constant is change. You got to keep changing. You got to keep adapting. I feel like people don't adapt well because they're so stuck in their old ways that they forget that your body's always changing. Your mind's always changing. You're always learning new things. There's no such thing as like sticking to the same thing. You know, there's no such thing. It's just impossible. But like, even when you work out and you're disciplined, you wake up every day, you know, you're going to eat differently. You're going to change your diet according to how you feel. You know, you're going to change your workouts because you're getting tired of it. You know, you're going to change your car because you don't want it no more. Or like, you're always changing. And I realized that about people too. People will always change and they're unreliable. If I tell someone to do a job and they fail at the job, I'm not mad at them. I'm mad that I told him to do it. I'm the one that fucked up.
Well, I think it's,
does that make sense?
It's having less expectations for other people and more for yourself. You stop expecting so much out of others and not expecting that out of ourselves.
Like the saying, expect to be disappointed. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Expect to be disappointed.
Yes, I agree.
I have the great faith in people, but I know that people will always fuck up. It's human nature. Because at the end of the day, you're not controlling them. They can't be controlled. They're their own, you know, person.
Yep, I completely agree with you. Well, Johnny, thank you so much for giving me your time.
Thank you so much for joining me and listening to another episode of For the Love of People. Please subscribe to this podcast if you found it helpful, and share with someone that you think would love to hear it. Until next time, we'll be dropping another episode next week. I wish you well. Goodbye.